It's 2 o'clock, so I'm going to start. As I said before, I'm going to be recording the audio for this, so if you don't want your voice to appear on the internet, then don't speak. Hello everybody, my name is Terence Seaton. I'm going to talk to you about location-based QR codes. First of all, stick your hands up if you know what a QR code is. Some people, stick your hands up if you don't know what a QR code is. Stick your hand up if you're in the wrong session altogether. Okay, here we go. So this is a little project that I've started, born out of frustration. So I'll get to what a QR code is and why they're so useful in just a second. But this is a photo snapped by I Am Dan W, who I think is wandering around here today somewhere, which is at Waterstones. They've now got posters saying, check in here on Foursquare. Hands up if you're a member of Foursquare. Yeah? Okay, so Foursquare allows you to check in to sort of post, yes, I'm at this location, and you can leave tips and see what your friends are doing. All very good, and if you check in enough, you become the mayor. And if you're the mayor, you win nothing. But you get a good feeling, and at Waterstones, you get 20% off your food.
Do you mind if we can shut the store? Because
That's quite all right.
Should we go back?
Yeah, we'll close this. We'll take that through and then we'll close them.
Yeah.
So Foursquare is pretty awesome. It's pretty cool at the moment. All the kids do it. The problem is with these location-based services, like anything, is that you've got something like Foursquare. We've also got GoWalla. Anyone here on GoWalla? It's like another version of Foursquare. And Rumble. Anyone here on Rumble? Like a British version of Foursquare. And you've also got Google Places. And you've got Yelp. And you've got all sorts of places. Hundreds and hundreds of these different things. Facebook Places, there we go. Any other location services which people use? Got Facebook Places. There's, you know, you can do things with Yahoo Maps, and no doubt Bing, and all sorts of things. And that annoys me, because there's lots of different services, and they're all different. There should be one service. But we'll get to that in a moment. So, which one are you on is quite interesting from a personal point of view. You're on Facebook Places, you're on GoWalla, you're on Foursquare. But which one is the building on? If Weatherstones are only marked on Foursquare, what do you do if you're on GoWalla or somewhere else? It can be a bit confusing to work out where you should be, what you should be doing, if you want to tell your friends how to let them know. So, is there a better way? Well, this is a QR code. So this is it's an open standard, it's an ISO standard, it's royalty and patent free, more or less, well, as good as. And this is a machine-readable code. It's a 2D barcode, so just like on the back of your pack of crisps, you've got a barcode, which is just one-dimensional, which is a vertical line. It's two-dimensional, made up of lots of squares. So, if any of you have a phone with a scanner on, you can scan this now. If you've got a phone without a scanner, what phone do you have, sir?
Android,
yep, download ZXIMG. Is that on iPhone? There's OptiScanner. If you just type in QR, and if you've got a non-smartphone, there's Enigma and BTag and all sorts of things for BlackBerrys. Almost every phone has a scanner. The Symbian phones, I believe, come with them pre-installed. Certainly the N95s do. But it's really quick. I mean, this is absolutely massive. You know, it's printed huge, but they can be really quite small, and your phone will still scan them in. So what happens if you scan in something? So what I thought is, how can I use something like a QR code, which a QR code can contain any sort of data. It could contain just a piece of text saying, hi, how are you? It could contain a phone number which you can ring. So rather than you having to see a number on an advert and think, oh, I must remember to type that into my phone. or it can contain a URL which can take you off, take your phone and point this web browser at somewhere. So I've created a little service which is called X Marks the Spot, and the idea is that you see a QR code, you scan it in, and then you can check in on Foursquare or come on in. Are you in for this one or for the one over there? Fantastic. But you missed the bit where I gave everyone free iPhones, but
he's got one.
So I've just zapped back for this chap here, which is say, see a QR code, see it, scan it, and check it. And what does it take you to? Well, this is, hopefully you will have seen this by the entrance of the skit. This is a poster which I created with the help of Super Deluxe Sam, who you can find on Twitter, at Super Deluxe Sam. And this is my idea. This is what I want to see businesses and venues and places like the skit and your workplace is doing, which is having a poster like this, which is human readable, with a map saying you are here, because that's kind of useful to know where you are and what the streets are around you. Here's a list of all the services that we're on, so Facebook, Rumble, Google Places, GoWallah, Foursquare, Twitter, Brightkite, I forgot Brightkite earlier, Pleases, and all sorts of these weird and wonderful services. And hey, here's the machine-readable bit, which is you scan in this QR code, or if you don't have a QR code scanner, you can just type in this very short URL, xnts.mobi/whatever the name of the venue is. And what does it do? Well, it takes you to, at the moment this is a very simple mobile formatted page, which if anyone hasn't scanned that in and would like to now, you'll see takes you to here. So at the moment, it's a simple list which just says, hey, there's Foursquare, right, these are the services that they're on. There's some advertising to make me filthy rich.
Can I scan that, please?
Yes, I'm sorry, I tell you what.
Can you recommend an iPhone?
How far do you have to be?
For something this big, as long as it fits in your viewfinder, you're standing on the they won't work if they're invisible, unfortunately.
Actually, that's quite true. Yeah,
they're
going to have
all fun. Yeah, so the
great
thing
is, it works from here, so...
You can just sit from here.
Yeah, so some of them will... So you don't even need to... On some of them, you just wave your phone across, ping, and it will go, and it will launch the browser. Yeah. Someone mentioned, they are degradable. So they've got... If I do that, you can probably still scan it in. You can obscure up to about a third of the code. And as long as these three squares are more or less unfettered, you'll be fine.
So is the code repeated? The repetition of it all?
No, it's got lists, what's the thing called where you build in redundancy into the data. I can't remember what it's called, but yes, it's magic. So using magic, basically the three anchors oriented.
I think it's linear titillation, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, linear titillation. How do you titillate an ocelot? The ocelot is titillation. There you go. That's the most inappropriate thing I've ever said out of our
camp. It's getting tired, isn't it?
Order. So, you see a poster like this, and I've also stuck one up at Future Platforms, I've given one to Tech Hub and expanding it, and you can scan in, and you get this page here, and this will be expandable, so if more services come up, you can say, oh great, well this page is listed on Brightkite, I can check in there. And what does it look like when you click on there? Well, all of these services have mobile web components, so one of the problems with things like Foursquare and GoWallah is, for a lot of them, you need to download the application. And that's right, but if you've got that one phone which they haven't built for, or if they're only on iPhone and you've got Android, or you've got a Symbian but the developers are too cool to develop for a proper mobile phone operating system, then you're kind of out of luck. Well, with all these services, they've got mobile web enabled check-in. So there's Foursquare, and it'll tell you there's a skip, there's a special on that. That's what GoWallah looks like, and it uses, you can just about see up there, location-based services within the browser to make sure you're close enough to check in. Brightkite is a little boring on the mobile web, but it works. Google has got all sorts of things, including clickable phone numbers, and great, so you can click to call. And also Places, Yelp, and Rumble, they've all got mobile services as well. So all you need is a fairly basic phone with a QR reader, which is 90% of phones with a browser will have a QR reader application, whether the user's got it or not, and a mobile web browser, and you don't need to install anything else, and you can immediately check in using your favourite service. So the plan is, eventually, this is something I created on Monday, is to allow a venue to go to xmts.mobi and say, okay, I am the Skiff, and here's the details of me on, here's my .tel, here's my Twitter page, here's Brightcard, blah, 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 hit save, and say, right, well, here's a poster that you can print out, or you can buy it through this shop, and, you know, get an A4, an A3, one which you can stick up anywhere. And to sell advertising on it. So mobile advertising actually works, more or less. I run a couple of small sites which have got advertising in, and at the moment, you know, they net me a few dollars a week. It's not massive, but obviously this will become the next big thing, so definitely billions and billions in it. But I need a little help, and so I've corralled you all in here today and won't let you go without telling you that... I built this as a proof of concept. There's a database which lists venue name and its IDs and all these various location-based services, and a bit of mod rewrite magic which allows you to visit it on your mobile phone, and a QR generator. The next thing that I need to think about is, well, how do I build a site where people can actually log in and alter their own data? How do I make sure that I'm not opening myself to SQL injection attacks and all these cool stuff like that? I know that PHP can take... I've got my own QR code generator, which is written in PHP, but how can I manually assemble a poster like that using the open... So this map is from OpenStreetMap, so it's freely reproducible, and you know, things like that. So essentially what I'm looking for at the moment is some constructive comments, you know, what do you think of it, some constructive criticism or really harsh criticism, and to see if anyone would be interested in helping build up something like this to a slightly more professional service. This is, like I say, built in a long weekend. And like I say, fabulous riches await, which of course is a lie, but it will be a lot of fun. Which may also be a lie, it might be rubbish. but I think it's going to be really interesting. What I haven't done in this presentation is talked about why QR codes, and the report came out by Scanby, who are a vendor of QR technology, saying that in the UK and the US, scanning has gone up 700% in the last quarter. We're starting to see these in mainstream magazines, so Wallpaper magazine, I work for the company who publishes it, but this talk isn't on behalf of them, have now started putting QR codes in their magazine, so you can go and you can watch a YouTube video about the article. We're starting to see them more on TV advertising hoardings, people putting QR stickers up against certain things. Really, because you can put any data you like in a QR code, it becomes really useful to say, well, rather than trying to remember a long phone number or a short code to text to get some information, scan in the QR code and it will either take you there as a URL or it will start sending off an SMS on your behalf. So that's it. This is a fairly short talk so we can have a bit of a discussion, but I just want to say thank you all very much for coming along and listening to me. Any questions?
Yeah, okay. So, old fashioned barcodes before this, mm-hmm. people are already using it in small business and things, but they can't find what it's, if you go into Tesco and buy a bun, for example,
yeah.
the guy actually gets out a card and goes, where's the bun, beep on,
yeah.
and that specific thing. So it's more like a lookup, but that actually doesn't contain any data.
No, a 2D barcode is just a number.
It's just an index.
Yeah.
So this is actually containing the actual data itself. What
yeah.
is, so that could, for example, contain a very tiny image. Within the image.
Yeah,
or even better, the vulnerability yeah. to like a security payload, so you could compromise somebody.
So it generally, what they do is they store, it's not ASCII text, it's usually UTF-8 because it's designed by the Japanese, so if you want to put in Japanese characters. But you can encode any data you like in there. The question is whether the barcode reader will understand it. So if it's plain text, it will just pop up the text. if you just put in a number, most barcode readers will say, if this is a number, it's probably a phone number, but you can type TEL apostrophe. I mean, if you scan that one in there, that should take you to my business card. But you can stick in a whole V card in there if you want. You can also have SMS in there as well. So you can say SMS colon a phone number question mark body equals. So just like you would do with, or you can also have mail to as well. So click on that, send an email to someone for more information.
But basically, sorry.
I'm sorry, she had precedence, but I'm busy in just a second. We work on the hands up system here.
This is a pretty girl spread.
So,
So do you feel this is sort of taking over, not taking over, sorry, being the equivalent of like, or, you know, the things where you do online,
absolutely.
But you can't do when you're
this is a physical manifestation of an internet.
Facebook,
exactly right. So one of the things which I did at charity Hack Day a few weeks ago was to say, you can scan this barcode and it would take you to PayPal to pay, but just as easily, if you go to... This one here and scan in, that can go straight to your Facebook, or it can also go straight to Twitter.
But it's going via your URL.
Via my URL, but it could go directly straight to
Facebook.
You can go
to... In the same way that your Facebook comes up strong.
Exactly, yeah. So I fully see this as anything that you want to do on the internet moved into the physical world. Mm-hmm. So this chap, the new, yes.
Yeah, I forgot what I was to say. I think I passed this, this round and, you know, reformulate the question once I got more inspired.
Okay.
I was just going to say, me and a friend of mine built a wiki for best practices around QR codes, which documents a lot of what we're talking about.
Good stuff. I'll be very interested in taking a look at that.
Yeah, about testing in the real world, angles, transparency, colours, different types of data.
Yeah. So there are some really good rules. That one of the first is make the code physically big enough to scan.
Yeah, well, this is what we learned. There are some really good rules.
Where can we find that?
qr-practices.pvworks.com.
If you give me that, I'll
take it. There are some rules.
You need
to all get broken by various. And I don't mean broken by people, I mean broken by other rules.
So for example, one of the things is you can put in kilobytes of data into this, and it will get bigger and bigger and bigger, and the code will get more and more complex
but
and harder to scan.
Ah, yeah.
So
it's
something you can chain QR codes.
It becomes, the bigger it is, as in the more data you stuff in there, the physically more dense those pixels become. And so you can see that that's sort of one size. If I skip to the end here, this is actually a lot more compact because there are fewer characters in
there. Then start to think about shorting.
Yeah, so then when you put short URLs in, if you scan something and it just says bit.ly/... are you going to click on it? Or are you going to go, hang on, that looks a bit suspect? So what I've done with these ones is I've made a very short URL, which is 9 characters/, and then... anything else. So hopefully it's easy enough so that if that's human readable, and you see the skip at the end or future platforms or McDonald's Chelsea High Street.
So presumably, because you also rely on the data connection at that point as well, right?
Yeah.
So presumably you could actually load that with a different protocol that loaded a particular app on your phone as well.
So yes, but then you're relying.
Apple
users scan here, Android users scan there. So we need to
scan. Right, because that works across several.
But isn't it whatever the scanning app is on the phone decides what to do with the mail?
So you think the scanning app by the browser and what the browser.
Yeah. So that's why what you can't see on here is if you do go to Foursquare, right at the top it says, hey, if you're an Android user, click here to get the app, which should then load the app on your phone if you've already got it.
I was wondering, you could use browser detection to say, am I coming from an Android phone or an iPhone? And if so, say, click here to visit the Foursquare website, or if you have the Foursquare app installed, click here, and then use whatever the protocol...
Exactly right, yeah. So what I'm planning on doing is using either Workflow or Device Atlas to detect what the phone is, and then exactly as you say, on this page here, what I could do is put a little box there saying, already got the app, click here, and then whatever the protocol handler is for iPhone.
Yeah. I was going to say, I did that when I came in this morning, and I've got a single app on my phone which covers all of that.
Oh, right. Stuff. Yeah.
But unfortunately, it wanted me to download, you know,
the app again. Yeah.
The app, it wanted me to download the Foursquare app for BlackBerry or Twitter app for BlackBerry, whereas I've got, you know,
you've got a third party one, which does it,
One thing you could do, potential enhancement, is just because it's that you can set cookies as a website. So what you could do is reorganise that the moment you go and say I'm checking at the skid. If they previously checked in using Foursquare, if you put that
right at the top. Yeah. And there are other slightly nastier things that I can do as well, which I want to talk about in this question. So there's advertising here at the moment. This is AdMob, but there's also Google Ads and InMobi. And all of them will take as parameters the location of the user. Now, if someone scans in that code, I know pretty much their longitude and their latitude. I don't need to do any browser detection, I know exactly where they are. And I could post that directly to AdMob and say, can you give me adverts relevant to Brighton or Gloucester Street in Brighton? Now, mobile advertising isn't quite at that stage yet, but there is a privacy aspect here. And whether it's enough to say, well, I'll only do it to the town level or maybe the county level, it's still giving away personal information to someone, which people may or may not feel happy about. So I'm going to need to think about, can I realistically pass that information off? You know, because if you're out in public, anyone can see you and hold up an advert saying golf sale this way. That would be an interesting mobile use case, wouldn't it? You scan in, you go to a website, and go, by the way, you're 500 metres from the nearest golf course.
Did you... Yes, I guess two questions. One technical, and the other one more general. Okay, technical question is, how do you... Do you use some API service in order to detect the URL of that specific location on each service?
Not yet. What I'm doing is I go to foursquare.com, find the venue, and then I copy the unique ID for it and stick it in a database. And then I go to Google and I do the same, and I think, which is crap. for building a site with only 10 or so venues in work. So one of the things I need help in is looking at which of these sites have APIs. So when someone comes in, what I want, they come to xmonsterspot.mobi and they'll say, I'm the skip and my postcode is BT whatever. It will then go up and say, hey, we think your Foursquare venue is and your GoWalla venue is. Is all this correct? Yes. And yeah. That submits it to the database. But at the moment, no, I'm not using any of the APIs. So.
Right. The second question is more about what's the value of, besides like giving recommendations on the basis of location, what's the value of working with check-in of places?
Yeah.
Or what's people doing with
so
that?
People, as far as I can tell, use check-ins for three or four purposes. The first is to let their friends know where they are. Yeah. So if you and I are friends on Foursquare and I can say, I'm at this pub, you can go, oh, Terence is at the pub, I'll go visit him. The second is to leave reviews or tips about places. So if you've just eaten at a good restaurant or a bad restaurant, you can go to Yelp and type in, you know, this restaurant sucks. And other people, when they're checking in, can go, oh, it says this one's rubbish. Or it says, hey, the spaghetti carbonara is fantastic, try it. But also to get more information. So if I show you, for example, the Google one, it's quite interesting. There's reviews which are left there, but there's also, you can click here to phone them or to email them, find out more information about the place if it's closed. And then finally, what we see is from the other side, what the business benefit is, here on Foursquare, if you have people visiting you enough and checking in, what you can do is you can reward them. So rather than relying on your memory, you can say, actually, this person's a really loyal visitor. Let's give them 20% off. Or on the skip, if you check in at Foursquare, it says, hey, the skip will say, help yourself to 2 free skip snacks if you check in. So for businesses, it's a great way of rewarding loyalty or encouraging people to come to you. And then as a sort of social experiment, it's nice to tell your friends where you are and leave reviews about physical places. That
makes a lot of sense, actually.
Cool. I like it when it makes sense. Yes.
So you could use this for more stuff, like, I don't know, you use it to hide digital assets, but in the real world, or something like that.
Yeah, so there are people who do, like, scavenger hunts, and the thing at the end is a QR code. I mean, the stuff that you can stick in there is incredible. There's you can add context, but you can also put Wi-Fi passwords in there as well. Now, you need a reader which supports it, but rather than having to type into your phone a 27-character string, there you go, you've got it. Yeah.
Another sense, you can abstract this as much as you like. It's basically a link that you can put data in if you want.
Can you just use it as pure data, though?
Yeah.
You can basically store it in front of the central image if you want to do whatever you like with it. It all depends what's supported by the thing you're looking at.
So
you can encode images in, which is really
cool. The things which I tend to use it for are URLs, plain text, so just say, hi, how are you? But then also vCards, so you scan this in and you've got my phone details on your phone. But also direct, a phone number is just a URL which is opened by your phone's dialer rather than the browser. So you put a phone number in there and great, you're now speaking to the ticket line or to whoever it is that you want to speak to rather than having to transcribe it like a monkey pushing buttons like that.
You could, for example, so one of the things that I'm interested in is WebGL, and you could have the textures in the game, and then someone comes up and there's a little hint, but you have to go on.
Absolutely. Anything that can link to something else, you can stick in there. Just think of it like, I remember way back when the internet was very young and I was even younger, you know, people were saying, well, what can you do with URLs? Where can you point them? And just like you can have it pointing to an FTP site or a mail to, or now we've got Skype to, you know, all these different protocols. Anything that the phone supports, you can stick in a barcode. So, I mean, if you saw a poster like this at the front of the store, or, you know, your favourite restaurant, do you think this design is clear enough to say what it's about, or do you think it could be made better?
So one of the things we tried to do on the wiki, which we haven't really accomplished, was some sort of recognisable standardisation of how you convey that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right. So what in that is recognisable across every other place that someone else might create as well? That says this is a phone number, this is a website.
Yeah. Right. I mean, what I've done is I've just put a URL underneath.
Right, and there's some very, very simple ways to do it. What if it's not a URL? You know, I mean,
if it's a phone number, you can put it in there, but if it's something more complicated, you need a piece of explanatory text which says, scan this in order to get your Wi-Fi password, or...
I mean, what's never happened is we've never had a body like W3C looking after this stuff.
We could start one.
Which has meant that there isn't really any kind of... you can't load someone's expectations because people don't know what to have.
Yeah.
Right. And every reader does whatever they think.
One thing which I found was the SMS2 protocol is meant to work the same way as Mail2. So you all know Mail2 links on the internet opens up your email client with the address prefilled, and maybe a subject prefilled, and maybe body prefilled. You can do that with SMS. Really, really handy. But many iPhone QR scanners don't support it for some reason. All the Android ones that I tried, scanned it in, great, I can send an SMS instantly. But for iPhone, very weirdly, they don't know. Whether people will catch up, I don't know.
Is it not iPhone or Apple being funny there? Because they don't like people playing around with this tech side generally, do they?
It may well be Steve Jobs being Steve Jobs. But
is there a deal?
There are some. So
if you turn into a link, you can actually get Safari that open up the text.
OptiScan on the iPhone, I don't have an iPhone, but I've tried OptiScan, which is $2.99 or something, does support SMS2 and some of the other protocols, but the free ones don't. I don't know why. Sorry, you had a...
I was going to say, now I think about it, I've seen the QR.
QR,
So I've seen QR years ago, like probably...
Back of Pepsi.
And the things at that point, I had no idea what it was. I thought it was actually the equivalent of a barcode, like an internal thing for the company, rather than thinking it was actually something from my benefit. If people see this stuff around, you know, how are they going to know? This is actually for you, this is not...
So this is why we need to make it quite front and centre. And it evidently needs some text, like scan this in with your phone.
Yeah.
I went to a very interesting presentation with Pepsi, so they're still doing it on some packs, I think. They were doing a promo with, I want to say, Kelly Brook, where you scan it and you've got a picture or a video and various things. One of the really interesting things they did was they printed a different QR code, depending on whether it was a can of Pepsi, a 2-litre bottle of Pepsi, or a 6-litre bottle of Pepsi, or whether it's come from multi-pack. So what they could see, they could get some very good analytics about what people were scanning. And then once people went to the website, they could collect demographic information like where are you, what's your sex, what's your age, all that stuff. But you, because this is a URL and you can put whatever query string you like at the end, if you want to have, you know, the skip upstairs and the skip downstairs, but both go to the same place, yes, you could. And you can do all sorts of